You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. It's time for Food Friday. And today we're turning our attention to baking and, in particular, to bread.
Bread baking can be a little intimidating if you haven't tried it. It is intimidating to me. Or maybe you've done it and ended up with, you know, a paperweight more than a delicious loaf of bread. But our guest today wants to help us feel confident and excited about making our own bread.
Sarah Black is a baker and baking instructor with 25 years of professional baking experience in New York City, and she's the author of One Dough, Ten Breads, Making Great Bread by Hand. Sarah, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be with you.
So, Sarah, these days there's bread everywhere. We can pick it up at the convenience store or someplace a little more high-end. So why should we bother making our own bread?
Well, first of all, I think it's a really satisfying process. It's very relaxing. It's zen-like. And at the end of the day, you feel accomplished and with something delicious to eat.
And unlike a lot of cooking, Sarah, you mentioned that bread is really this tactile experience. And in fact, to get really good at it, you've got to really use that sense of touch. How important is that to the experience?
I think it's essential, and it's really the point of my book. Once people get past their fear, jump past that line, get their hands in the dough, then the rest of the bread making learning experience comes so much more naturally. Absorbing information after you've really touched the dough or felt the dough structure is just that much more evident.
Why is that? What does the dough tell you?
Well, I like to be able to understand if all of the ingredients have been mixed properly. I can tell the water to flour balance more evenly. I can feel fermentation. Fermentation's almost like putting the palm of your hand on your cheek inflated with air. So you can really begin to sense what your dough is doing just by touch or by look or by hearing. Even.
Hearing? How so hearing?
Well, there are certain ways when you mix your dough that the dough sounds like it's hiccuping, and then you know that you've almost reached the end of mixing. But these are just little cues that people can pick up on, you know, when they're making their dough by hand.
Well, let's get to some of the basics here. First of all, equipment. What's the minimum level of equipment we need to start making some bread?
Well, I start in my book with one basic recipe, which asks you to use anything that's in your kitchen cupboards. Most people have measuring cups, and so I give you a recipe for using all-purpose flour and measuring cups and teaspoons, and it's just a matter of getting you started. Once you get past that point, I like to instruct the reader or my students to use a scale, and a scale I think is essential for starting to build a very specific and proper recipe and foundation that'll allow you to grow from that.
So why do you need a scale? What does that give you?
Scale gives you accurate measurements. If you pack your flour into a measuring cup or if you pour your flour into a measuring cup, you'll get two different measurements. A scale is simply accurate. It tells you the truth.
So let's talk about that basic bread recipe you mentioned. All-purpose flour you started with. What else goes into the basic, the one dough that's in the title
one
of your
dough.
Book?
Right. It's flour, water, yeast, and salt, and those are the four elements of making bread. I start with all-purpose because most people do have all-purpose flour in their cupboard. But once we grow to the third or fourth chapter, I recommend using a bread flour, which is different from all-purpose. It has more protein in it. It allows for a better gluten structure.
And you said yeast. Now, I just made my first loaf of bread of yeast bread in years last week, and I noticed at the grocery store there's all these different kinds of yeast, and I wasn't sure what to buy, so I just grabbed fast-acting. But can you walk us through the yeast choices?
Well, yeah. I prefer to buy active dry yeast, and I warn against fast-acting because that normally asks you to use a higher water temperature. Your dough will grow more healthfully and allow a better flavor and texture with cooler water. Your interior dough temperature should always be around 75. So if you're using a hotter water with this rapid-rise yeast, you're beginning to kind of chip away at building flavor and good texture. There is a yeast called Saf Instant Yeast, which doesn't have to be hydrated before you use it. And I've been starting to experiment with that because, as you know, I'm opening a new business. We're beginning to recipe test, but I'm also looking forward to scaling up my recipes with a kind of yeast that will impact that process in an efficient way.
Talking to Sarah Black. She's the author of the new book, One Dough, 10 Breads, Making Great Bread by Hand. You can join in this Food Friday discussion at 800-642-1234. Sarah, we've got your recipe for ciabatta bread up on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go through that in a minute, but we heard that you were the person who introduced ciabatta to New York City. How'd that happen?
Yes, they give me that credit, and I'll take it. I was one of the first people to be making ciabatta, and I got a lot of play for it. I had become a paper maker prior to becoming a bread maker, and so I had experience in working with wet substances. Paper making is all about pulp and water, and ciabatta is really all about water, too. It's a highly hydrated dough, so it's a little bit intimidating and challenging to work with. I was used to it, familiar with it, so my ciabatta turned out beautifully, and I was one of the first people to introduce it to the New York City marketplace, and it took off because it's such a beautiful interior. It has a great mouthfeel and a very thin, crisp, dark crust.
So aside from that higher water content, what makes ciabatta ciabatta?
Well, it's normally a kind of ugly, plain bread from the outside, but I think the surprise is on the inside, and it just has huge holes with lacy strands of dough, and it's perfect for, you know, slicing horizontally and stuffing as sandwiches or sopping up soup. It's Italian for shoe or slipper.
So we've got that recipe again on the Central Time Facebook page for Sarah's ciabatta. Sarah, I wanted to ask, what are some common mistakes? Where do people often go wrong, where they maybe have that first bad experience with bread making and then give up on it?
Good question. I think that you can use the wrong water temperature, which will either, when you're hydrating your active dry yeast, if you use water that's too hot, you can kill your yeast. Water that's too cold, you won't allow your yeast to live and survive. And also, overkneading your dough can really destroy the texture of bread. It can ruin the gluten structure and just make it fall and kind of become brick-like. And I think steaming your dough when you first put it in the oven is essential for getting the potential of the best rise.
I want to talk about kneading the dough. People either love it, I guess, or they hate it. It's pretty labor-intensive. Of course, these days you can also use a stand mixer with a dough hook instead. Which one do you prefer?
Well, in my book, I start with the first recipe and explain about kneading, and I do so because most people are familiar with kneading. But from that point on, I use a process called folding, and folding is a much more gentle way of managing your dough. It's almost like folding a business letter. It also helps to protect the interior crumb structure. So after the very first recipe, all of the rest of the breads in the book use this process of folding. And you can, you know, make excellent bread with a stand mixer. I use mixers all of the time, but because I'm so aware of what a bread should look like or feel like, I know when to stop the mixer when it's mixing.
Another common mistake I've heard about, and you mentioned in your book, is, okay, you made your bread, it's warm, and you can't wait to cut into that warm, steaming
right.
loaf of bread.
Right.
Don't cut into the warm bread, am I right?
You're right, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because I disappoint 99% of the people I tell this to. They love to eat hot bread with butter melting on it, but during the first hour after your bread comes out of the oven, the moisture is still migrating from the center to the crust, and so the bread hasn't set. The structure will be gummy if you cut into it, and the flavors haven't set either, and so bread is really at its best when it's completely cool to the touch, usually about an hour after you've taken it out of the oven.
We are talking to Sarah Black, author of One Dough, Ten Breads, talking about getting started making bread from the basics to the advanced techniques. We'll pick that up in just a minute.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you love to make your own bread? And if you've run into roadblocks, can our guest help you out? What's your favorite kind of bread to make or maybe to eat? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert, and we're picking up our conversation now with Sarah Black. She's the author of One Dough, Ten Breads, Making Great Bread by Hand.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. If you're a bread baker, what do you love about making your own at home? If you're not a bread baker yet, what would you need to know to get started if you've tried and failed at making bread? Maybe we can give you some help. What went wrong? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. By the way, you can get a recipe there for ciabatta.
And Sarah, let's talk a little bit about sourdough bread. I guess this is one of the later chapters in your book about sourdough. There are even, I guess, sourdough hotels in Sweden where you can leave your sourdough when you're on vacation. What does it take to make sourdough bread?
What does it take to make sourdough bread,
yeah,
you say? It takes a real understanding of balancing all of the components of bread. But have you ever made a sourdough starter?
I have not.
No.
It's actually quite a great science experiment. I started this past summer, and you can really literally capture yeast by mixing flour and water together in a small container and containing them, putting the lid on your container, and then feeding them on a routine schedule for about 2 weeks. And it's a really interesting process to watch. But by the end of that 2 weeks, you should have a sourdough starter that will literally leaven your bread, and the flavors and the textures are really unique then to your own environment and your own tastes, and it's kind of a little dream come true if you're a true bread maker.
We heard from a caller who couldn't stay on the line. She says she grew up in a German household, found cardamom in pumpernickel bread adds a whole lot of flavor. That's a spice I wouldn't have thought to put in bread. Is that a common thing to do, Sarah?
You know, I've just started using cardamom, and I used it with chocolate and coffee in a scone that I'm recipe testing. And
I'm in.
Those flavors together were just dynamite. So, yes, I'm a fan of cardamom now.
I want to ask you a little bit more about your folding technique that you were talking about before. When I made my bread last week, I do fold it over, but I also kind of lean into it and not exactly punch it down, but push it down with some gusto.
Yeah.
Do you end up doing that when you're doing your folding technique?
No, I actually am very gentle with my folding, and it's more to just maintain an interior crumb structure that I anticipate for the final bread. But leaning can work, and there are many people who are proponents of kneading. There are certain doughs that benefit from a lot of kneading, certain pizza doughs, and so it's not that I'm against it. I'm just more comfortable with folding.
We're getting bread making advice from Sarah Black, author of One Dough, Ten Breads, Making Great Bread by Hand. You can join in with your questions, your tips, your favorites at 800-642-1234. Sarah, if I were to start making bread, and I'm a bread making coward, I'll own up to that. but my goal, I think, would be to get to making a good rye bread. And it seems like the challenge would be not like a dense bread that you serve with soup, which I love too, but a good light sandwichy rye bread. What's
right.
The key to making that?
The key to making one of your first rye breads is to make sure that you have a balance of both rye flour and a bread flour. Rye flour has much less protein to it, so it's much more challenging for fermenting properly, and you give it a little bit of a boost and a security net by adding a white bread flour that does have that protein. So in my book, you can certainly find a recipe for rye bread that will help you make the bread of your dreams.
Now, you've got this, your whole book is dedicated to this sort of one dough that you then build on, getting to 10 breads. And one of those breads along the way is focaccia. How do you get there from your basic bread dough?
Well, the very first bread dough is a stiffer dough, and I use it for baguettes. But the magic of the first three foundation doughs is that you only change the quantity of water to make a new dough. So a baguette dough adds maybe two ounces more water to make focaccia, and you would be amazed at the difference in dough structure. And the reason I've taught my students this way is because when you feel the difference in dough structures, you learn the skill of handling the dough, and it really helps you in future bread making and shaping different shapes.
And just little differences like that, like a little tweak in the amount of water in a bread can make that much difference?
Yes, because to make ciabatta, I take maybe 2 to 3 more ounces of water and add that to the focaccia dough, and you've got almost like a pancake batter, which is scary and intimidating to some, but it's why I, you know, build slowly from baguette to focaccia to ciabatta. You get a little bit of time to practice before you get to the the scary ciabatta dough.
Let's take a caller now at 800-642-1234. We have Patrice with us in Horicon. Hello, Patrice.
Hello. Thank you for a great show. My question is regarding a bread called salt rising bread, which my mother used to make. She was from Kentucky. I wonder if you're familiar with it and if you might have a recipe to post.
Patrice, did you say salt rising or self-rising?
Salt.
Salt, okay.
Just like the salt shaker.
I wish that I could say yes, but I'm intrigued and actually just read about salt rising or saw the title of salt rising bread yesterday. If there's anything that you can tell me about it, I'd be happy to learn.
Oh, it's just a marvelous bread. It's very thick, very dense. It has a starter. It's yeast and salt, and it sits for a couple of days.
And what's the end result?
And what does it taste like?
It's just wonderful. It has almost a sourdough taste. It's incredible when it's toasted. I grew up with it, and I've looked and looked for my mother's recipe and can't find it.
Oh, yeah. That's what
well,
I haven't
have
heard
me
of.
Curious.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that call, Patrice. I hope you can find a recipe for that. And, Sarah, do you collect breads, in effect? Are you always looking for something new to give a try?
I am, and, in fact, I'm opening a business with two other women in the Columbus, Ohio area in the next 6 months. So we are recipe testing as I speak. And I'm more interested now in working with regional grains and ancient grains and looking at healthy, clean options for crackers and bread that I'm responding to from the public.
Right. I saw you have recipes for crackers at the end of your book. Again, how do you get from your basic dough to a cracker?
Well, let's say you've made ciabatta and maybe you have a little extra dough left over. It's so easy to make that into a cracker. You just take an oiled baking sheet and with your newly developed hand skills, you can very gently stretch that dough to the corners of the sheet and let it proof, but not long, and you can top it with a variety of toppings, let's say a little olive oil and some coarse salt and maybe rosemary. It bakes faster than your breads. You have to keep an eye on it, but when it's finished, I can promise you that there won't be any left within 10 minutes after the crackers have cooled. They're truly delicious and so easy to make.
So do you have to cool your crackers for an hour or two?
No, but they do cool much more quickly than bread, so if you're anxious to taste your bread, I recommend trying crackers.
Yeah, can you tell I'm anxious?
We had a caller named Dallas, Sarah, who's wondering if you can give a tip on making pizza crust. Pretty similar concept, I imagine.
Well, there are many different ways of making pizza crust. My friend Amy Sherber of Amy's Bread in New York makes a delicious pizza, and she kneads her dough very vigorously. On the other hand, I use a focaccia dough for my pizza, and I don't knead it, but I just stretch it, let it contract, stretch it, let it contract until I've gotten the round that I want. Pizza is best baked on a pizza stone, although you can bake it on a sheet tray. And, you know, it's really simple that way. There's nothing too complicated about it.
And, Sarah, as we wrap up here, how do we know when our bread is done?
Well, the age-old test is to pick your bread up, turn it over, and tap on the bottom to see if it sounds hollow. I rarely do that. I think it's just a matter of the many years I've had in bread baking, knowing the look, the color, just the amount of time that has passed. But for a novice, follow the instructions, get your base time, and maybe just pick it up and feel if it has lightness to it, which tells you that, you know, the water has baked from it.
We'll leave it there for now. Sarah, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. I really appreciate this opportunity.
That was Sarah Black. She's a baker and baking instructor with 25 years of baking experience in New York City. She's the author of the new book, One Dough, 10 Breads, Making Great Bread by Hand. We've got her recipe for ciabatta on the Central Time Facebook page.